So tonight I'm mostly going to concentrate on the Beatitude. But what I've decided to do is that when I was looking at the different translations, the one that I really liked was the ESV translation, which is, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." I really like that. When have you ever felt really, really hungry and thirsty? In 2001, I was pregnant with Bella. I had terrible all-day sickness. I vomited after every meal and had nausea all day long. The only three things that did not make me vomit were chocolate milkshakes, not surprisingly, broccoli and fruit tingles. Bella was born at 34 weeks. When I delivered her, immediately I felt relief from the nausea and very, very hungry. It was a hunger I had never felt before. I needed food and I needed it now. Not even the birth of a beautiful baby would stop me from this intense hunger. Hunger is more than a vague interest. It is an intense desire. A person who is really hungry or thirsty will do almost anything to get food or water. His or her life depends on it. Hunger is the strongest of motives. It produces energy and it drives decisive action. It's powerful. This intense desire, this hunger and thirst for God, and this passion to pursue his righteousness is a hallmark of a true follower of Jesus. Now this evening, I'm going to consider three statements about what I think Jesus means about hunger. Number one, spiritual hunger is a sign that we desire more Jesus, more Jesus. When you are hungry, your body is telling you something. It's been too long since your last meal and you need to eat. Hunger indicates the absence of food in the body. Jesus tells us that the ones who are blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Here's what I think this beatitude should feel like as a follower of Jesus. You don't feel like that you have arrived. You find yourself longing to be more like Christ than you are. You say, "I wish I was further along. I wish I prayed more often and had more time to read the Bible." Some people are confident of their own righteousness. They say things like, "I pray every morning and evening. I read the Bible every day. I go to church three times a week, help out at the op shop, and drop off meals to the sick and needy." The Pharisees were like that, but Jesus does not pronounce them blessed. The blessing does not belong to those who see themselves as paragons of virtue. The blessing is for those who see how far they have to go and want more and more of Jesus. Other people are content in their sins. Jesus does not pronounce them blessed either. The blessing belongs to those who are not content to remain as they are, but have a strong desire to grow in righteousness. If that is you, Jesus says you are blessed. Number two, spiritual hunger is a sign of life with Jesus. Nobody teaches a newborn baby how to be hungry. They don't need mentoring on this. Where there's life, there's hunger. Spurgeon says this: "To hunger after righteousness is a sign of spiritual life. Nobody who was spiritually dead ever did this. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you are spiritually alive. When the Spirit of God has changed our nature, that new nature hungers and thirsts after righteousness. The old nature never did, never could, and never would do so. Number three, spiritual hunger is a sign of health with Jesus. A healthy appetite is a good sign that a person is well. But if a person loses his appetite, it is usually a sign that something is wrong. We need to apply this spiritually. If you have a deep longing to grow in Christ, love him more deeply and know him more intimately. That's a good statement about your spiritual health. The sign of spiritual health is not to feel that you've arrived and you've nailed this following Jesus thing, but to have a great longing for more and more. The mark of a true follower of Jesus is that he never feels he has arrived at a righteous life. What does he do? He hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And this hunger is a sure sign of a spiritual life and health in Jesus. So what do you think Jesus means by the term righteousness? This word occurs only once in the other four Gospels. However, it occurs seven times in Matthew's Gospel, including five times in the Sermon on the Mount. The word is a mystery to us. We know that it is something to do with being right and doing right, but that's about it. Righteousness as a follower of Jesus distinguishes us from the rest of the world. We are to hunger and to thirst after a kind of life that will cause some people to persecute us for our faith. So righteousness is a lifestyle that distinguishes us as true followers of Jesus, and it invites opposition from the world. Righteousness begins in the heart and changes us from the inside out. Jesus says in Matthew 5:20, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisees had built a religious system around attendance at the temple. It involved intricate rules and regulations. It was very professional and very routine. It's a bit like wearing cheap perfume or cologne that you splash on to make yourself smell good. It's not really a part of you, and it can't cover up the real odour underneath. True righteousness starts in the heart and changes a person from the inside out. Righteousness doesn't need to be seen by others. My paternal grandmother, who was probably the most unchristian Christian I know, would parade her Christianity in front of others. I remember going to Melbourne Airport to farewell various family members off overseas. She would always, at the top of her voice, say, "Let's all get in a circle together and pray aloud." As a child, I would be forced to pray aloud. It was awkward and uncomfortable and not God-honouring. In Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." The Pharisees loved to pray in public and loudly. They loved to dress up in their religious garb and throw their offering in the metal container so people could hear the coins rattle. They would sacrifice anything to win the praise of others. Their religion was built on the praise of men. And they still thought God would reward them. It looked good, but there wasn't any substance. Righteousness causes us to seek God's will in all parts of our life. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. This touches the priorities of life. What is it that you are seeking in life? Stop. Take a moment and really think about it. As good as those things may be, they aren't the most important things in life. Put God's kingdom and God's righteousness first. When you do, everything else you need will be given to you. Seeking his righteousness means letting his word set the standard for your life. It means seeking to do that which is pleasing to him. All of us here tonight, all of us are involved in a quest for satisfaction. I'm going to be honest here. Sometimes I find my satisfaction in clothes and shoes and making things look just right. It's a problem for me. It's sinful and it stops me from growing in my relationship with God. The great question is, where do you find your satisfaction? What satisfies you? Whatever you think will satisfy you will become the great pursuit of your life. If you think that satisfaction is to be found in achievement, then achievement will become the consuming passion of your life. If you feel that satisfaction will be found in travel, food and wine and relationships and sex or even retirement, then they will become the consuming passion of your life. What do you think will give you real satisfaction? Is it being loved? Is it being appreciated? Is it to get revenge to achieve a certain goal or position? And as I come to the end, I want to say that Jesus tells us that there is one desire and only one that will be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because they will be satisfied by our Saviour, our Lord, our King, our precious Jesus Christ. Amen.